Welcome back to the Shinsei Method channel, where we talk about the Shinsei Method and everything related to your work, your business, your family, and your life. Doing what works, or rather, learning to do what works, or rather, relearning to do what works. In this segment, I want to talk about the importance of principle. And we often talk about principle on this show and at theshinseimethod.com. Because what I found in life is that there's not a lot of practical advice or insight to help you with the decisions that you have to make in life. And a part of that is living, of course. It's a part of experience. It's a part of growing in a world as it is. But clearly, if you had practical insight for many of the important decisions that you have to make, it would make a significant difference in your life, usually a very strong positive or significant positive difference. And again, I'm speaking from experience. If you have practical insight in one of the most important decisions you'll have to make as an individual, choice of career, that process could go a lot easier. If you have practical insight or advice on making a marital decision and choosing a marital spouse, that process would go a lot more smoothly for you. But unfortunately, for a lot of these very important life decisions that affect every aspect of your life, you can't have an unhappy marriage and have it not affect your work. You can't have an unhappy work situation and not have it affect your marriage to some degree, unless you're very careful, unless you're very consistent, and unless you're very disciplined about not letting that happen. And of course, that gets us right back to what the Shinsei Method is all about, a life principle method, because it gets us back to principle. It gets us back to discipline. It gets us back to focus, concentration. These are important principles. And when I'm talking about doing what works, of course, I've just made two very important examples in your life, work and marriage, or not even marriage, maybe just a serious romantic relationship. These are important decisions to be made. How you spend your time, with whom you spend your time. These are important decisions to make that have a significant impact on every aspect of your life. The earlier you have practical advice and practical knowledge on how to make that decision, let's say as a child, the better off the rest of your life will be. The less practical advice and insight you have, and the later you get that practical insight or you realize it on your own, very often the more difficult life will be. And again, I'm speaking from experience, so I really want to highlight this because I have been in many difficult situations, largely financial situations that are difficult, not because bad decisions that I've made, so-called, not because of, bad financial decisions. I'm relatively risk-averse. I don't mind taking a little bit of a risk, but I'm a very cautious person, very prudent person by nature. But unfortunately, I haven't had a lot of social support for those very important principles. So what has happened is over the years, I've doubted those very important values. That doubt infects and affects everything you do. So that if you do make a decision that's based on the principle of prudence, let's say, the principle of caution, let's say, and you're not rock solid on that course of action, you start to waver. You start to doubt yourself. And it won't help that in many social situations, people are also doubting you. Why are you doing it that way? Why aren't you doing it like everybody else? Etc. This causes a lot of inner turmoil for you, which is the complete opposite of what I call the three pillars of individuality, well-being, and profitability. And that's why I call them those three pillars of individuality, well-being, and profitability. Because without these pillars, individuality, true well-being, true individuality, and true profitability, when I say profitability, I mean in a much more total sense. I like to talk about the totality of existence. It's an expression that I developed in thinking about what has influenced me in developing the Shinsei Method. One of the most important influences for me has been Bushido, which is a way of combat, a way of thinking, of martial thinking, of martial philosophy that incorporates everything in your life, your way of thinking, your way of training in the martial arts, but your way of training in the martial arts becomes a way of life. So it becomes a do, a way, which means do, loosely translated from the Japanese, and the bushi were the samurai. Bushido was really a way of looking at things, a perspective, a way of living and operating, of training, of everything. That's very important. Because if you are talking about the totality of experience, your totality of experience, you're talking about everything in your life. You're talking about everything in how you think and how you behave and how you rationalize and how you justify your principles. If your patterns of thinking are not clear, again, getting back to that principle of clarity, if your principles or your patterns of thinking are not clear, your way of thinking is not clear, it will significantly and mostly negatively influence and impact the decisions that you make. And again, I live through this personally. I have always been a relatively cautious and prudent person. But when I was very young in life, I made a decision to marry somebody that was not at all individually suitable to me, violating the first principle of the Shinsei method. How did I do that? Because I didn't have the Shinsei method there. I didn't have the practical advice. I didn't have the practical insight. And it's only through that decades-long analysis that I've gone through, thinking about what has happened, why am I not where I want to be, and going back over the process of my life, the process of my thinking, the decisions that I've made, and how I ended up where I was, living in an apartment around people that I have nothing in common with, who have completely different lifestyles than I have, bad credit reports, bad living habits, bad eating habits, bad sleeping habits. I have none of those. But of course, their bad habits, because you're living in an apartment, then spill over into your life because they keep you up at night when they're coming and going. And all of that has to do with living arrangements. Now, why am I bringing that living arrangements up in this segment of the show? I'm bringing it up because it's directly related to what I'm talking about. If you think about one of the most important aspects of your life, one of the most important decisions you'll have to make in your life, choice of career, and your patterns of thinking are confused and muddled, you'll make decisions that are not appropriate to you. What's the likely result? What's the likely consequence? You'll have jobs that you can't throw yourself into, that you don't feel very comfortable with. You won't fit in if you don't understand something about the organization and the industry. You won't fit in. So when layoffs come around, you may be one of the first people that are chosen, no matter how talented you may be, no matter how intelligent you may be, no matter how well educated you may be. How do I know this? I was in that situation. So because I didn't spend the time thinking about what kind of career choice was going to be important to me early on, I ended up in situations where I couldn't live in a kind of home where I wanted to live. I couldn't be in the kind of neighborhood where I wanted to be. I couldn't drive the kind of car that I may want to have. Now, I'm not saying that all of that is the number one thing to be considered in your life, but it definitely has an impact, a significant impact on you. You don't have to live in the richest neighborhood, but clearly if you live in a community where you feel more comfortable, your life is going to be very different than when you're in a community of people who have nothing, with whom you have nothing in common with, from the way they look to the way they act and behave, to their morals, their character, their lifestyle choices. They're completely different than yours. It becomes very demoralizing to you, and it becomes a very difficult situation for you to deal with psychologically, emotionally, and then ultimately financially. So then it becomes a vicious cycle in your life that's very difficult to break out of. That's why I'm talking about the Shinsei method. That's why I'm talking about choice of career and living situation, because they are interrelated. You can't have one without the other. Now, I started out this segment of the show talking about doing what works. Well, that's number one, doing what works. Thinking about how you think, making sure that your thinking process works for you. It's individually suitable to you. One of the first principles of the Shinsei method, or the first steps of the Shinsei method, is to analyze your key terms. Analyze what is a career to you. Analyze what is analysis to you. Analyze what is thinking to you. You can't take that for granted. Many people talk about thinking, and you ask them how they got to the conclusion that they may have drawn, and you find out that they spend very little time thinking about it. They don't even know how they got to it. I have been in many situations like that. you get a lot of resistance sometimes. You get a lot of hostility in your way. So your way is a way of thinking of about things rationally. The way of, in a lot of social settings is that they don't think about things rationally. Maybe in your work setting, maybe in your family setting, you're the odd man out. Now you're coming at loggerheads with many social settings. That will have a direct bearing on the kind of things you can do and can expect from a career, let's say, if your choice of career is not individually suitable to you. This is how it's related. This is how it becomes a life principle method of training. This is why it's so crucial and so valuable for you to do in your life. Because choice of career is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Probably the most important decision, because that will determine everything else that I just mentioned. A lot of times it will also determine your choice of marital partner. And then if things don't work out, and sometimes it doesn't, I'm not saying that any decision you make is going to be fail-safe. There's no 100% guaranteed method. Nobody can guarantee anything like that, because there's a lot of other factors involved. But you can make certain choices and rule certain things and people in certain situations and settings out by going through a careful process of analysis before you get yourself involved in that. And if you notice, this is a process of science. This is the process of investing. Now, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't offer investment advice on this show or at the shinseimethod.com. But I am a private investor, and I do believe very strongly in the principles of investing, because I think they're very useful and valuable, particularly if you practice what's called value investing, where you're looking for a value always. And that's crucial for the Shinsei method. I often talk about striving for value. This is one of the most important goals of the Shinsei method, and establishing value as your key goal in life across all aspects of your life: business, work, family, education, friendships, marriage, etc. Everything. But this is not an approach that tends to be encouraged in many social settings. But this is an approach that works. So if you're going to strive toward what works, you have to understand something about what's practical, what's effective, what's efficacious. So in other words, you have to understand something about these very important principles. Again, getting back to the Shinsei method and those fundamental steps. Analyze your key terms. Define those terms in an individually suitable way. Act on those terms, because action is one of the most important forms of communication. It communicates to you that you're clear about your goals and views and values. But it also communicates to others. That's a secondary goal, but certainly something that's important to do. So that, if nothing else, it will likely attract to you people who are more in line with your way of thinking. And that will, of course, make things a lot easier for you in many different areas: work, family, marriage, etc. That's why it's so important. It's a matter of integrating and unifying your way of thinking around a common goal that you understand: principle, value. But understanding these important concepts for yourself and defining them for yourself is not something that tends to be encouraged in many social settings. That's why I also developed at the same time what I call three pillars of individuality, well-being, and profitability. Inner strength, inner balance, but of those, self-trust is the most important. Because if you don't have self-trust, if you're not trusting that what you're doing is valid and valuable, all of the other things then become virtually impossible. And I know I'm speaking from experience. I had all of these important elements in place early in my life. But the one thing that was not in place was a clarity of thinking. And I didn't understand my views, my values, my policies, practices, procedures, and didn't understand how valuable it is to pursue value, how valuable it is to minimize risk and live by the standard of risk minimization. This is a process of risk minimization, making a decision that's individually suitable to you so that you rule out all of the things that are not suitable. That's a way of minimizing risk. But if you talk about this to many people, you get a lot of strange looks if you're lucky. If you're not so lucky, you get a lot of hostility, or worse in this day and age, unfortunately. So if you get that in many social settings, if you are striving toward doing what works, let's say, in your job setting, And you're in a work environment where people are doing the most nutty things. They're doing the most confusing things. They are doing the most ridiculous things in many settings. And that is the social setting. That's what they do. That becomes the culture. Again, you're going to be the odd man out. If you think you're going to just plow through it and power through it, you'll be powering through it right out the door when they hand you your termination notice. Because in many social settings and in many work settings, the one thing that people will not tolerate is someone that does not fit in, that does not play the game, that does not play the role, that does not make any waves. And the minute you make a wave, the minute you make a decision for yourself, for example, I am going to decide that I don't want to have this medical procedure, even though this medical procedure may be mandated. The minute you make that decision, all of a sudden you become a pariah. Well, it's a reasonable decision to make if you want to decide something about your own medical health, your own medical status, your own financial status. That's your prerogative to do. But suddenly, you make a decision for yourself and you stand on that ground, you become the odd man out. And a lot of times, you lose friends, etc. So, a lot of times, pursuing value, like doing what works, requires, number one, that these important principles have some relevance to you, like practicality, like consistency, like stability, like simplicity. But unfortunately, in many social settings, those principles tend to be downplayed and devalued, particularly simplicity. People look to complicate things far too much, even when they're trying to learn something. You have to learn something first by simplifying it to its base elements. And I learned this the hard way, unfortunately, going through college, where they complicate everything. They throw the most complicated things, they explain things in the most complicated ways day one. There's no sense of introduction, there's no sense of easing you into it, there's no sense of sequence. All of these are important for the process of logic and learning. But it usually doesn't exist in many social settings and in many school settings. And the school usually represents the first introduction that people have for the whole concept of training. So you go through school, you learn, this is how we train. We throw everything at everyone, and hopefully something will stick. We don't really know. We have no metrics to measure whether or not it's effective. And even if we do have a metric to measure it, we'll just ignore the negative consequences because this is what we really want to do anyway. Well, this is an approach. That approach is so common, but it is not an approach of doing what works. Now, if it's not common and your approach is to do what works, again, you're going to be at loggerheads with a lot of people in a lot of social settings. What do you do? How do you deal with that? How do you navigate a life, a world, a work, a business, a living, a friendship, a relationship? How do you do these things if every time you want to pursue rational value, a lot of other people, or most other people, are pursuing the most irrational things? Very common. Again, it will cause you to doubt those fundamental values. And I'm speaking from experience. So I know what I'm talking about. It will cause you to doubt these fundamental values like simplicity, stability, consistency, practicality, and really encourage you to start being less practical or impractical, less consistent, more unstable, and more complicated in everything you do, and then you'll fit in. That's what a lot of people do, unfortunately. But how does that affect your life? How does that affect the quality of your life? How does that affect the quality of your results? Those are rhetorical questions. Of course, it affects all of those very negatively. So you have a question, you have an answer, or you have a question to ask, and you have an answer to find for yourself. What kind of quality of life do you want to have? What does quality mean to you? Does it mean clarity? Does it mean consistency? Does it mean understanding? Does it mean stability? Does it mean integrity? Because integrity really means all of those. When you're thinking about integrity, integrity is not just a moral consideration. You can talk about the integrity of a frame in a building. Does that building structure have integrity? That means, and it's an important concept to understand, because integrity means strength on the inside. It holds up. There's no instability. There are no weaknesses in important areas that will cause the building to collapse. That's what we mean when we talk about a building that has integrity. Well, the idea of integrity then, and that concept of integrity must be pretty darn important if it's going to hold up a building. That whole concept then is applicable to everyday life and everything that you do, because if you have integrity in that way, that means you have integrity in how you think. That means that your thinking process is consistent and stable and regular. That means you understand it, because you can't reproduce a thinking pattern that you're confused about. It'll change from day to day. So that means truth then becomes important, because if you lie about things, you'll forget your lies. That's why, in a sense, lying is a very weak approach to reality in life, because it has no integrity. It has no strength. It has no inner strength, inner balance. So this is how all of these concepts are interrelated. And they're so crucial, because they serve as an anchor, as a waypoint, as a rock of Gibraltar in your life that allows you to be able to say, I know where I'm going. I know why I'm doing this. And I'm going to continue to do this. And even if the social settings don't support it, even if the family don't support it, as they often will not, even if the spouse doesn't support it, or the partner doesn't support it, as often they will not, even if the friends don't support it, as often they will not. Now, you have a choice to make in those situations, too. You can either learn to accept that that's just the way it is, but you're going to go your own way anyway, or you can take it as an indication that perhaps it's time to find a new group of all those people. That's your choice to make. I can't make that for you. No one really should or can. But at least you have the choice to make for yourself, and you can make it if you understand the importance of principle in your life. Whether you take it to heart or not, principles will still be important, regardless of the importance you give to it. In other words, principles are important in their own right. I developed the Shinsei method to encourage you to recognize their importance and implement them in your own life. But whether you do that or not, principles will remain important regardless. Until the next time on the Shinsei Method channel, where we talk about the Shinsei method and everything related to your work, your business, your family, and your life.